Corinthians chapter 3. As I said, I want to take a look at this passage. As soon as we move that, there we go. As soon as we and take a look at this and take a look at what Paul's having to say to kind of put in context here what he's going to say in verses 5 through 15. The brethren in Corinth were having problems. They were putting too much emphasis on the worker and not on the work, or not on the person who is behind the work. The first four verses we're not going to read, but they were saying, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Paul, and he's saying, hey, let me talk to you about being a Paul and Apollos and where they fit into all of this. This is basically what Paul is getting ready to discuss. So verse 5, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husband and are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another man buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. All right, so we're just going to kind of work our way through these few verses and just take a look to see that what Paul is saying here in this text. And hopefully, with the past several weeks of dealing with providence, and the past few weeks in particular of the fact that God uses our abilities. You know, there's a difference between the word, I think, talent and ability. And I don't know if I made that clear. We all have abilities, but when do our abilities become talents? When we're using them for whom? God. That's the talent. As Nathan pointed out, I think it was Nathan last week, pointed out, you know, a talent is valuable. A talent is monetary in nature. And while, yes, we have, some people have the ability financially to put that to use for God's kingdom, talent, but the person who just gives a drink of cold water to somebody, that ability then becomes a what when it's, according to Matthew chapter 25, given to somebody, one of the brothers or sisters in Christ who's thirsty. What does that ability then become? A talent, valuable, put to use for God. Okay, so, you know, to me, I have to make that distinction. The talent is when we're using it, because that's what's going on there. One man didn't use it, and it was taken away. That talent was taken away when he didn't use it for the Lord in Matthew chapter 25. But let's go back over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So the first thing we need to understand is sometimes as individuals, who do we get hung up on when we see somebody like Bob Buchanan who's going around the world and spreading the gospel all around the world? Who is it we center on in that sometimes center on? Who is it some people center on? Him. It's not about you and me. It's not about Bob Buchanan. It's not about anybody else that has ever gone out into the world. Paul says it's not about who in this text. It's not about Paul. It is not about Apollos. It is not about Paul. It's not about the individual. That's the first thing we need to point out. Jesus tells us, and I should have it in my PowerPoint, but I don't. When we have done everything, we are still what? Unprofitable servants. It is not about you and me. It is not about any individual. I don't care if there is an evangelist who has converted thousands and thousands and thousands of people. Who gets the glory? God. Because we've already seen If it wasn't for him, does that mean those thousands and thousands of people would never have heard the gospel or been converted? No. God's work would still have been done. It would have been through somebody else. And I think that's what Paul's trying to emphasize here. And one thing we need to remember, don't glory in the individual. And if you've done something, don't glory in yourself. It's not about me. It's about God. And that's what Paul says, even goes on to say there in verse 5. What's he say in verse 5? Which, thinking about what we've been talking about, he says it's not about Paul, it's not about Apollos. What's it about there? The last part of verse 5. What's he talking about, do you suppose? Even as the Lord gave to every man. What's he talking about? Gave what to every man? His abilities. That's exactly, I think he's talking about talent, sir. You know, why is it I don't glory in myself? Because my talent is not mine, is it? Who did we learn about? Who gave the talents in Matthew chapter 25? The master gave the talents. I would be nothing without whom? The master. And we need to put this all in perspective. And I think he's talking about, I really do now, think he's talking about talents and ability there. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos but ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? It's ability. He gave them that ability. Paul and Apollos are nothing. Don't glory in them. They are just men. It is God that gave them that ability. Okay, it's God that gave them that ability. Notice verse 8, and we're going to come back to verses 6 and 7 in just a little bit. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. What is Paul talking about there? What's he saying when you think about using your talents? What's he saying?
It'll be unity.
Okay, there's unity. What else? Notice the last part of verse 8. What's the reward based upon? How we use our talents. Isn't that what he's saying there? We are rewarded in that we are using our abilities for God. It's not important who plants and who waters. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes as we see that. And every man shall receive his own reward according to your work, according how you use your abilities, according to how you use your abilities. And notice what he say. What he goes on further to say in verse 9. In verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. You are God's husband and you are God's building. Notice here, Paul, saying that we're adding to other men's work. We accomplish nothing of ourselves. We're adding to what others have done. You know, God has this man going into this area, or he has this person speaking words of encouragement. That person gets lifted up, but he may have somebody else come in and speak other words of encouragement that takes them to the next level. They're the same person. It's two different people, I understand, but it's the same person. It's a Christian using their talents for God. We're building. That's how we need to understand and view ourselves, as doing nothing more than building on another man's labor itself. Notice verses 10 through 11. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another man buildeth thereon. Let everyone take heed how he buildeth thereon. For no other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Just kind of, you know, that we need to realize that our building, or the way the use of our talents how to word this. When we use our talents, there's a way to use our talents. And sometimes we do not use our talents fully, but partially, I think Paul is saying here in this section. And so, consequently, we need to understand that if we don't prepare ourselves, we may not be able to accomplish as much for Jesus. If the person, and I want you to think about this in terms of the work, in terms of your work, okay? Those of you that have gone to college or in those of us that were in school, you got a test, all right? You got a test. It's a very important test. And you study for an hour before you walk in to take that test. What do you think the results are going to be? Yeah. Now, are you going to make a zero? Probably not. Now, if you hadn't studied at all, there's a chance you may make a zero. But you may get a few points out of that. Okay? But let's say now, that same test, and you decide 4 days earlier you're going to start studying, and you study for several hours a day in preparation for that test. And you walk in to take that test. How do you think you're going to do? Are you going to get points? Are you going to get a lot of points probably? I think you are. So what dictated how well you did on that test? The preparation. What's the first thing? I see your hand, Kevin. Hold on just a second. So what's the first thing we talked about in terms of using our talents for God? What's the very first thing we have to do when we looked at the virgins, the 10 virgins? The 5 virgins who were fully prepared were able to do what with the Master? They went in. Now, were the other 5 virgins completely and totally unprepared? No, we saw where they took their lamps. But they didn't take any oil. They were not fully prepared. They only studied a short period of time for that test. And they weren't invited into the meal. And I think that's what Paul's talking about here when it comes to our talents and the work that we do for God. I think this is what he's talking about. Some men build, and they build on that foundation, which is Jesus Christ. It's not ourselves or false doctrine. They build on that, and they have prepared themselves, and they are ready for the work. Their work is built out of precious stones. Their work is out of gold. But yet there are some workers who don't prepare themselves. And they go in and they do work. But when the fire comes, and Principle 4 deals with Satan, when the fire comes, what's going to happen to that work? It's going to be consumed. And the reason why, I think, is goes back to a lot for the worker is how well we prepare. And I prepare. And I understand that everybody, you know, has to stand and fall on their own. But at the same time, he's talking about the worker here. He's talking about Paul and Apollos. He's talking about those of us that are trying to give water, those of us that are trying to clothe somebody, those of us that are using our talents for Jesus Christ. And I think the point here is that you as a worker had better make sure that you're prepared. Fully prepared before you go and do that work so that your work will stand. Kevin?
I want to make sure I say it right, but the foundation here is obviously, you know, the background and everything else. Paralleling that to us today, some foundations aren't always the same. Mm-hmm. And so you have to build on that. Some can build quite easily on that and others can't build. So what might work for me may not work for you. And it's all based on the foundation.
I think that God allows us to use right. Our differing abilities and the different ways to accomplish His will.
And I think sometimes we get caught up in a traditional way of doing certain things. Like the only way you can do certain things is, you know, you have to be here and you have to hear this sermon and it has to be the thing and you go and you do things. Sometimes just being at work and the guy noticing next to you that, you don't ever cuss. Well, okay. And, oh, I noticed that you make sure you leave early Wednesday so you make it to worship. Or when you talk about something, you know, your stories are appropriate or whatever that may be. And then people eventually get to talking to you about some of that. So there's more than just, you know, the idea of the traditional way we look at that kind of stuff. So that's the way I've always seen these verses as foundations. And the way that's solidified.
Paul actually says there's only one foundation.
Well, I mean.
But the work, you're right. You're talking about the work.
Right.
I'm talking about as well.
Right.
But at the same time, you have to be prepared for that. I think that's what Paul's talking about. Verse 14 and 15 now.
What's he say about both individuals? Even though one was the one that was fully prepared, his work's going to last in verse 14. The one who has not been fully prepared, but still doesn't hide their talent, still uses their talent. What's he say about that person in verse 15? This person that didn't prepare fully is not the one individual in the talents, the parable of the talents, who went and hid his talent. This person still worked. This person still built. And what's he say about that person in verse 15? They're still going to receive a what? They're still going to be saved. That's what he says. You're still going to be saved because you were working. Now, you weren't fully prepared, so the work that you're doing or that you did is not going to last. You know, and so as God's worker, I want to make sure I'm fully prepared so that my work lasts over a period of time. Okay? So, back to what we've been talking about here. Why do some not use their talents? I want to kind of bring this to a conclusion now. So why do some not use their talents, their abilities, are not fully prepared? What are some reasons people who may not be fully prepared or may not use their talents?
Lazy.
Yeah. Just lazy. What else?
Fear.
And these two are my first two points. Lazy and fear. And I want to talk about reasons why today sometimes we don't use some of our talents. And I'm not going to take the time to read it because my time, I only got about 25 minutes. I do want to finish this today. But I want you to think about this. Martha was condemned of why? Why was she condemned?
Her emphasis was on physical
things. Her emphasis was on physical things, worldly things, instead of spiritual things. I'm just going to throw out for you, one of the reasons why sometimes we as God's workers are not fully prepared to do His work, or maybe not even prepared to do His work, or maybe hide our talents, is because we're too busy here and there. We're too busy making a living so we can get that bigger home, that nicer car, that we forget about, maybe I should pull back a little bit, not work as much overtime, not take that extra activity, not do that extra thing, so that I can put more time and emphasis in using my talent for Jesus Christ. And our society pushes that, folks. Our society pushes the worldly over the spiritual. And sometimes it's like a frog in a pot that has the heat turned up over a slow period of time. We don't realize we're that way until it's too late. And so I thought I'd throw out there for you that sometimes we're too busy here and there as opposed to preparing ourselves. Young people, we're too busy starting our families. We're too busy getting our college education so we can go out and get a good job, so we can go out and provide for our families. And that word provide there can be defined in many different ways. If we're just talking about having enough to get by is one thing. If we're talking about having a very comfortable life, having a big home, have nice vehicles, nice clothes, that's another thing that we don't study like we need to study. We're not using our talents for Jesus Christ at an early age. That's what I'm talking about here. Is that sometimes we just get too busy here and there and we're not preparing ourselves. Ken?
Another point is that we just get distracted, like you're saying. The devil gives us things that necessarily might not be bad, but they distract us, so they are bad, because they distract us from our focus on Jesus.
Absolutely.
And it's awesome that he's given us this time together on the first day of the week, and that we think about these other passages saying not forsake those times, because that helps us keep focused.
Yes. And sometimes we get too busy here and there, and we forget about these times that we come together and we meet.
Hands are going up now. Kurt, and then Jesse.
I've noticed, I like watching the Game Show Network. And
I'm sorry.
Well, anyway, it stimulates my brain. But notice there's a lot of prizes given away for trips, and everything's emphasized on going on vacation and all that. And subconsciously, we're thinking, well, you have to have a week-long vacation. You have to go out of state to be on vacation. Well, you know, no, you don't. You know, if you can't afford it, you know, you need to hold back on them big vacations. Maybe you can then spend a little more time and money on the Lord's work.
And that's an everything. Just not on vacation, so that's a good example for everyone. Jesse?
Many times we look at, we say, well, when I'm older, when I can retire, then I can do all these things. Well, you may not live long enough to retire, or when you retire, you may not have the health, money, or whatever to do those things.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you put them off. Well, you have good intentions.
But they have more of a convenient time.
Yeah.
More of an opportunity down the road.
And I think a lot of times the person is being completely honest. I am preparing for this, and one day I'll be able to travel to Nigeria and help with the gospel. But the health, like I said, the health is not there, and all of those, it's, we have to do it
when we can.
Now,
yep.
You know, because we may not be here tomorrow.
Right, good point. Nathan?
There's one thing that we've not hit on yet, maybe you will, but one of the reasons that I've seen people not using their talents is they're not given the chance. This is the third congregation I've been a part of growing up, and I don't see it as much here, but I've been a part of congregations, visited congregations where when the preacher goes out of town, it's the same three men who fill in. When there's 8-9 men who have the ability to preach or want to learn how. I've been a part of congregations where it's the same people who teach the classes whenever there's a waiting list of people who want to learn how to teach, want to teach. We also have to be careful that we're giving these opportunities to people who want to improve their talents or who have the talents, and we're not just sitting and letting the people who have sharpened their talents continue to do that.
We have talked about that in terms of making sure that those opportunities are given for the growth that needs to take place. Turn over to Philippians chapter 4 very quickly. I want to touch on the last reason I want to deal with as to why sometimes we don't use our talents like we need to, or we're not prepared like we need to. Philippians 4 verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Paul's talking about confidence there and having self-confidence. And sometimes we may have the ability, but because we don't think we have the ability, we don't even try. I want you to understand a lack of self-confidence is not a reason to not at least try. You understand what I'm suggesting here is that too often than not, we maybe think it's humility. No, I don't have that ability. I don't have that talent. And until you try, how do you know? I'll tell you, there's one talent I don't have. I used to do this because I attended congregations where I needed to do it, but there's one talent I don't have, and Jim doesn't have the same talent. We can't lead songs. Dina will sometimes hit me because I sing the wrong words, you know, and I don't know why. And sometimes you don't want to be sitting beside me because I am way off key. And when I used to lead songs, I would start real loud, and then I would get real soft. I'd just start and get people in, and then I get real soft because you don't need to hear. I'm off key, and a lot of times I don't even know the tune. I'm just singing. I don't have that talent. I have tried, though. But I'm telling you now, I don't have that talent. Now, there are a lot of others in this building that have that talent. A ton. We are blessed with a lot of song leaders. Okay? But if I had never tried to lead songs, I couldn't stand up here and say, I don't have that talent. I don't have that ability. That's my point. It's too often than not, we don't even try to find out if we do or can. Kevin?
One thing, and we've talked about it, too, but the word talent is not like I have a talent show.
No.
And I need to show off. And I think when I hear the word talent, sometimes I still, even though I've been hearing the word talent for the last 30 years, however old I am, you know, I still understand what the biblical word is, you know, what the meaning is. But in my mind, I'm thinking of the talent show. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we get carried away with the talent being, for men, I got to go up and preach, and for women, you got to go cook a full course meal and send all that, be all nice, whatever. It's, you know, the different roles. But that's not what that is. It is literally something like, maybe you need to clean the building or make a meal.
What you're able to do for Christ.
And I think we don't remember that. It's always.
Yep.
God does have a plan. Coming to a conclusion now. God does have a plan. As we've seen, He uses His people and those that are not His people to accomplish His plan. And as a child of God, I must prepare myself, be prepared to be of use, to do His will. And the way we prepare is by honing our talents, getting our talents stronger. So when He calls up, and He will match the worker. We've already seen He will match the worker with the work. It's then up to the worker as to whether or not they're going to accept the opportunity that's placed before them. As we saw, Philip didn't have to go. It was his choice to go. And think about everything that's happened since then. We need to be ready when called upon in preparing and owning our talents. And as a need comes up to further God's kingdom, He will use those who have prepared themselves, their talents for Him. It may be a little while, it may be very quick. He will use those. And as we saw with 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it's not the worker that's important. We do not emphasize the worker. We emphasize the results and we give glory to God. And just kind of in passing, I've heard people in the past say, you know, this congregation isn't growing. It's not a strong congregation. And I'm not referencing here, I'm just saying in general. People complain because the congregation is not growing. Numerically is what's being referenced there. Those individuals, who are they actually complaining about according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3? Specifically, who is it that gives the increase? So who are they complaining about? They're not complaining about the congregation, folks. Who they're condemning is God. Because He's the one who gives the increase. If you're upset with somebody, you're upset with God. That's who you're upset with. Because He gives the increase. We need to be working, but the results are up to Him. And where those results take effect, and that's up to Him. Example, we may not convert a lot of people in E-Town, but you realize last year we had placed to our account over 60 baptisms? Because we helped do what in other countries? We helped spread the gospel. So there is growth taking place. We just don't see it immediately here. But again, God doesn't see and view things like we do in terms of locally. He sees it just, my kingdom. If His kingdom grows, that's what He wants. And so He'll match the worker with the work. Okay? And those that have prepared themselves. And what I want to do now, and that the ripple effect for God's work could be years or even generations. Understand that what we do by just giving one cup of cold water could have a ripple effect. By giving one word of encouragement to somebody could have a ripple effect for years or even generations. in generations. And so what I want to do is I just want to give one example, and I don't want to glorify this man. And this man told me, I don't want you to do it. And I said, I don't care, Dad, I'm going to do it. Because as I look back at his life, I see God's providence and how it works. And so I just want to tell you a little bit, and you know some of this about my dad, and some of this you may not know. He has never sat down and told all that he has ever done over the course of his life since age 50 to anyone. But over the years, he'll say this or that, and then I'll just kind of write it down and keep track of it, not just for me, but for his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren, because to me, it's very encouraging. So let me just give you just an overview, and I think we'll see God's providence here. He learned Italian at the age of 48. Douglas Hills was supporting a man, a preacher, and Brother Berdini, old Brother Berdini, in Italy. And so he wanted to go visit him. He just didn't want to go visit him. So at age 48, he decided, I'm going to go to Italy and visit Brother Berdini, but I'm going to learn Italian so I can speak to him. And he learned Italian, went over, prepared a sermon. It was all typed up like my sermon in Belize. And he just read it. Okay, but he learned, and he now speaks Italian fluently. And so at the age of 50, the company came to Dad, and they told Dad that he was the executive vice president at the time, and Mr. Coffey, who was a Christian in Douglas Hills, was the president. And Mr. Coffey was going to retire in a few years. And they told Dad, we're going to make you the next president of Landmark Community Newspapers. And Dad said, okay, thank you, but I don't want to do that because I'm going to retire. So he turned down, and I I'm not trying to build him up, 1 Corinthians 3, but to kind of put all this in perspective for us, I think we see God's providence working in his life through this. And at the time, Landmark Community Newspapers had just started a cable station, and they offered stock to Dad, and if he would have been the president, he would have been able to buy more stock. You might have heard the cable of the station on television. It's called the Weather Channel. Landmark Community Newspaper started it, and he was going to be able to buy thousands and thousands of shares of stock right when they first started. But he said, no, I don't want to do that. I'm going to retire. You see, because he had a plan. The Iron Curtain had just fallen. And so there was an opportunity in Russia to preach the gospel. And he decided at age 50 to learn Russia, and he and Mom were going to go to Russia and preach the gospel. So for the next year, he learned Russian, and he spoke it fluently. He immersed himself in it. He went and stayed. There was a family down the road that he learned of that was from Russia, and he paid them, and he went down, and for 3 hours each night, they would sit in the house, and they would just talk in Russian. He immersed himself in Russian. And so the time came after that year that he retired at age 51, and they went to Russia. They went to Tula, Russia. And for 6 months, they preached the gospel. In the time of 6 months, he had six Bible studies. There was four brethren there that had been converted on about eight different mission trips into Tula. And they were meeting there, and they had six Bible studies. It's all in 6 months. And then one day, a government official came up, knocked on Mom and Dad's door, and they said, you got to go to Moscow. The whatever it was, secret police at the time. Remember, the Russian government it was no longer communist, but everybody in the government was still communist, if that makes sense. Okay, so the Iron Curtain had fallen, but they were still communists in the government. And this official came up and said, you need to go to Moscow. There are some folks up there that want to talk with you. And he walked in. Mom and Dad walked in, and they said, you have 24 hours to get out of the country and never come back. We know you've been preaching. Dad says, well, I thought I was allowed to. And they said, no, we're revoking your visa. You're not allowed to do that. 24 hours, get on a plane and get out of here. So they didn't even go back to Tula. It was an eight-hour train ride. So they didn't even go back to Tula. They just went and got on a plane. And I remember when they left for Russia, the whole congregation was there. We were there. And we said goodbye to them. And when they came back, it was just the family that was there. And they were down and they were dejected. And so they had a decision when they came back. And the decision was whether do we go into another country that speaks Russian? Do I just retire to a small farm somewhere, be of use in the local congregation, and enjoy my grandchildren? Or do I learn another language and go somewhere else? And they were, what Dad was planning on doing was going to the Ukraine, which is right beside Russia. And Mom spoke up and she said, if you go to the Ukraine, you're going by yourself. I'll go with you anywhere else you want to go, but I'm not going back to the Eastern Bloc countries. The door is closed. Dad says that was her words. The door is closed. So he decided, okay, I'm going to learn Spanish. And for the next six months, he moved to San Antonio. And he learned Spanish. He immersed himself. But he was still in an English-speaking country. And after 6 months, Dad decided with Mom, we're going to move to a country that just speaks Spanish. And we're going to stay there for a year, and then I'm going to go preaching in Spanish-speaking countries. I don't know, and he doesn't know why, but they chose Chile. And he found out that there was a small church in Arica, Chile, and the preacher there was a man by the name of Nestor Sanchez. You may have heard of him. And Nestor didn't speak any English, but he wanted to learn English. And Dad barely spoke Spanish. So they go and they move to Chile for a year. Great friendship with Nestor. Long story short, over the next 14 years, Dad went into Cuba 16 times, 13 faithful congregations, him and Nestor did. He went into Mexico, Belize, El Salvador, Honduras, Guatemala, Nicaragua, Colombia, Peru, Chile, Spain, Argentina, and Bolivia. Over the course of the next 14 years and several of those trips, many congregations were established, people were converted. Dad goes, I don't know how many people are converted. I don't keep up with that sort of thing. I do know that when he went into Peru, when he was in Chile, three couples left a liberal church in Lima, and they contacted Dad and Nestor, and they said, we want you to come study with us on the differences between the two congregations. Each family in different parts of the city started a congregation in their own home, and today each of those congregations has bought their own building and are over 70 members strong from that work. In Guatemala, I think I've told this story, he and Nestor went back into the back area of Guatemala and they found two groups of over 50 that the liberals had gone back to, converted, and left them within a week, and they didn't know anything about the gospel. And they studied with them for months. Still, those are still two faithful congregations in Guatemala because of that work. Peru, Guatemala, Cuba, Belize. He helped establish the first congregation in San Narciso that I and Kara went to last year. And now San Narciso congregation is over 60 members strong. They built their own building, meeting in a building, and they started the congregations in Orange Walk and in Corozal. Two different parts of Belize come from that one work. You know, as I read and I think about Dad's life, he had opportunities. He had talent. He had prepared himself. He had opportunities. He had perseverance. I want you to think about what Satan did to him in Russia. Or was it God in Russia? In 6 months, six Bible studies. Maybe Mom was right and that door was closed. I don't know, but as I look back, I told Dad, I think God took you out of Russia and wanted you to learn another language, and you chose the right language. Look at all the good that was done with Spanish. He could have just given up. It was his choice. And again, I am not glorifying my father. I'm showing you how providence, I think, works. Match the talent and the ability with the work. And then think about the ripple effect of all of this. His granddaughter now has gone to South Africa in Belize because of all the stories that she heard about her grandfather's work in other countries. I've learned Spanish. The reason why I learned Spanish is because because Kara and Bobby Cannon asked me to go with them to Belize. And literally, I said to myself one day, if my dad could do it at my age, 50, I can do it. The ripple effect, the impact over generations. His granddaughter, now his grandsons are talking about maybe going and doing different work in other countries. I'm going back to Cuba. It's not about me. But I'm going back to Cuba to build upon his work, hopefully getting elders established. Brethren, there's only one reason we know of Nestor Sanchez. I want you to think about that. There's a church now in the Galapagos Islands that is stronger and stronger because of the fact that we helped Nestor Sanchez go there. Nestor just contacted me. There's a church in Peru. It's going to be the first congregation anybody knows of in South America that is going to have elders. They are looking to establish an eldership. Three men. Nestor told them about me. The church contacted me. Next July, I'm going down there to hold a meeting with them to talk about the responsibilities of elders to members and members, congregation to elders, and to work with the brethren all day long, the elders all day long, and being an eldership. It's not about me, remember. I'm not up here bragging about that. What I'm saying is, if my dad had not used his talents, none of it, well, all of this would have taken place. It just wouldn't have been through me or him. Wouldn't have been through this congregation. We would never have had the opportunities that we've had as a congregation. That is how I believe providence works today. Yes, I do.
Have you had any ideas what your dad would go into after?
Yeah,
I had a stem from that man.
Yeah, from Larry Coffey's work with dad being a Christian. Absolutely.
Dad in his office. They'd sit down and study.
Yes, they would sit and study together. You know, there's so many, and I'll just point out to you folks, there's another person involved in all this, my mother. I think if there was ever a one talent person, it was my mother. And her talent was to support her husband. And she used that for the Lord. So you don't have to be able to do some great and grand thing. You just use your ability. You do. And you prepare yourself, God will match you with the work. That's providence. That's how I believe it works today. Thank you for your attention over the past several weeks.